Today, Shiz Masechta will become Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Dalet on the Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Shol Rav Chanina ben Ogil as Rav Chanina Rav Bar Abba. Chanina Bar Abba asked Rav Chia Bar Abba, Neymar v'divris Rishonis, why in the divris HaRishonis loy nemar behem toiv? We don't find the word toiv as we find in the Dibris Shnius and Parshas Vaschanon, it says L'man Yitav Loch by the Mitzvah Kibbut of Aim, whereas over Dibris Achronos by the Luchas, the Seres HaDibris and Parshas Vaschanon, Nemar Behem Toiv, the Torah does use the word Toiv, Kavnos Avich Vasimecha Kashitzivcha Hashem Lekecha, L'man Yerichon Yomecha V'Toiv Loch. Amalai, so Chivar Abba asked them, Achita Shalaini, instead of asking me, Lama Nema Bem Toiv, instead of asking me, why Shalani Namar Im Nema Bem Toiv Im Lav? Ask me if the word of Toiv does or not appear there. Shani Adeya, because I'm not quite certain Im Nema Bem Toiv Im Lav, if the word Toiv appears there or not. And of course, the Mefarshim ask, how do we understand this Gemara? Knowing that the word Toiv does or doesn't appear is obviously something very obvious. Just open up a Chumash and you'll be able to see if it says the word Toiv or not. And even if he didn't know, he could check. So Meretz Chai says that the person who asked the question assume that the two versions of Saras HaDibris are really the same as Saras HaDibris. And the question therefore was that why did the Torah choose to only write L'man Yitav Loch when it mentions the Saras HaDibris, the second Saras HaDibris, not the first Saras HaDibris? Because the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, points out that in the Saras HaDibris and Parshas Yisroi, the Torah uses the word Zochar Shem Shabbos. And Parshas Vaschanon, it says Shomer Shem Shabbos. And the Gemara says Zochar V'Shomer B'Dibur Echad Nemru. Both versions were said simultaneously in Har Sinai. So that's why the question was asked, if both versions were said at the same time, why did the Torah choose to say L'man Yitav Loch in the Saras HaDibris Shnius and not in the Saras HaDibris Rishonis? The Torah Tamima says that the question here is that the Medrash says that B'Shar Shamalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he's giving him the second set of Luchos, Moshe said the Pasuk, Toivli Tairas Picha Me'afuza V'Kesev. And that was the question that was being asked, says the Torah Tamima. Why on the second Saras HaDibris are they called Toiv? Why was this Pasuk recited by the second Saras HaDibris, and why wasn't it said by the first Saras HaDibris? That was what was meant. And the answer is, as the Gemara is going to say, because the second Saras HaDibris were broken, that's why the Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to use the word Toiv. Rav Tzadik says that, of course, again, based on the question that we began with, not knowing that there is the word Toiv, or yes, knowing the word that there is the word Toiv, is something which is so obvious that one cannot understand the question. So he says that the question that was meant to be asked is that we look in the second Aseret, we count the amount of words that there are in the Saras HaDibris Shnius versus the ones in the Saras HaDibris Rishonis, we'll see that there are 17 more letters in the Saras HaDibris, words in the Saras HaDibris Shnius. And that was the question that he was asking. Why did the Saras HaDibris Shnius have 17 more words than the Saras HaDibris Rishonis? To to which he answered him, to which he told him. He said, Kalech, Eitzer Tuvchon ben Chaloi, go ask of Tamchon ben Chaloi, Sheirogel Eitzer Vishub ben Levi, he was a Tamar Vishub ben Levi, Sheirbaki ben Goda. He is a big expert in learning Agoda. Ozlag Habei, so he went to ask him the question. Amalei, and he said that Amalei, Remenu, from Yeshub and Levi, I did not hear the answer. However, El Kacha Malishma Banachim Achi Ima Yishol Rav Achab Rav Chanina, Vamalei Achi Ima Yishol Rav Achab Rav Chanina, Hoyal V'soifel Nishtaber, since the first Luchas we know were ultimately broken, So he asked him, So V'chisoifel Nishtaber May Havi, why should that make a difference? Am Rav Ashi, because it will say the word L'man Yitavloch. And then those luchas will be broken. Then paska toivim Yisrael. Then that means that the good that the word toiv represents will also stop. And of course, we never want them to say that. It says so. Tyrus Chaim asks, but it says in the Aseres Adibus Rishonus leman yarichun yomecha. So why isn't the Gemara concerned that when those Aseres Adibus, as we just said, are broken, that will represent the end of our Arichas Yomim? So he answers, because the Pasuk says, L'man Yerichon Yomecha, Al Adom Hashem Hashem Elokecha Noiselach. And indeed, that's what happened, that they don't have Arichas Yomim at Israel, as unfortunately we know, Klai Yisrael went into Golos. So actually, the breaking of the Lucha Shnius is very much what is exactly actually what happened, that we lost that L'man Yarichin Yomechem in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, I'm not sure. Haroi test the Chalaimai. If somebody sees the letter test in his dream, summon Yafalai. It's a good sign. My time, Ilai Mishum Dixiv Toiv, because the word test represents Toiv. Emo, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, "V'tatasir b'tate hashmid," that it will be swept, Klai Yisrael will be swept away and destroyed. So you see the word tes represents, Rachman al-Tzlan, the destruction of Klai Yisrael. Says the Gemara, what was meant when we said seeing the letter tes is positive is chad tes kamrinan. It only says it when the test alone appears. Ema, but ask the Gemara, there's another pasuk that's Enecha Tumasa B'Shalao, which represents bad, answers the Gemara, test base communion. What was meant to say was that when you have a test and a base together, that is a positive sign. Ema, but ask the Gemara, even test and base together don't necessarily make a good sign. The pasuk says Tovu ba'aretz shirel. Says the Gemara, Elohayel because ba'hayel pasuk kasul Torah tchila. The first time that the Torah we see in the Torah the letter tes is shemibreishis from the word bereishis from the beginning of the Torah. Ad, where's the first time we see the letter tes? V'yar l'kimis or loiksiv tes. So we see that the Riyal Kimis Arki Toiv. So we see that Tes is associated with something very positive. As we said, the Seres Hadibur Shnius have 17 more letters than the Seres Hadibur Shnius. The B'nai Yisoska points out that number 17 represents, has, as we learned, such strong connection to the Aseres Adibris. And the Pasuk says, and we know that Aseres Adibris, Shivas B'Tamis, is the day that the Luchas were destroyed. And it's very appropriate, because 17 being a number which corresponds so significantly to the Aseres Adibris, when the Aseres Adibris were broken, they were broken on Shavas B'Tamas. Baruch Hashem and Levi, Aroya Hesped B'Chalaymai. If somebody sees the word Hesped in a dream, What it represents is Chos Olam Mishamayim Bedo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on him and freed him. It says the Gemara, Hani Mili B'Ksava. That's only when you saw it in a word, the word has been spelled out. Because, as the Marsha explains, if you actually saw a hesped in your dream, that would be a bad sign, because that would be that they're showing you the Chas V'Shalom, you're going to be attending a Levaya. But if they only show you the word hesped, that means, and the Mefarshim say that what it represents is, Marsha says it, Ches, Bed, Hey, and Ches are very often interchangeable when they write Hebrew words. And what it means is Chos Upadua. They had Rachmanis on him, Upadua, and they redeemed him from any punishment that he was supposed to have. We learned in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah discussed the Isser of connecting two animals, the Pasuk says, Behem t'chalai sabir klayim. And the Mishnah taught us, V'chein chaya ba'oif, that the halacha of klayim doesn't only apply to animals, it applies by behemoths, it applies to chayis and ifus. Amr Shlokish teaches us Rish Lakish, Kanshana Rebbe. Rebbe taught us over here, Tanagol v'tavis v'pisyoni, which are all different types of poultry, are klayim zebzeh. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Of course, they're different types of animal, of birds. So of course there's a Issa klayim, says the Gemara. Amr of Chaviva, Mishum de Rava Bahadi Adadi, because they grow together, they raise together. So that would maybe indicate Madu Tevim and Charu, they're all considered one, they're all one family. Kamash Milan, the Mishnah is teaching us that no, that even though they have this similarity that they grow together, that they're raised together, they're not one type. Amishmul, Avas, the geese that are domesticated, Vavas Habar, and the wild geese, climb Zebzeh. They're considered climb with each other. Maskul Rabba Rav Konan, my timer. What makes them into two different types of birds? Ilay Mishum Dahad Orech Kari. One has a long beak. Bahad Zuki Kari. And one has a shorter beak. Elamat the Gamla Paras of a Gamla Taya. Two different types of camels. Dai Olam Kuvay. One has a wide neck, v'hai cotton kuvei. One has a narrow neck. Hachinamidava climbs up zeh. Will that make them into different minim? Elam abaya. Why they are considered two different types of birds? Zeh beim mechutz. The testicles of this animal are outside, are visible. Zeh beim mefnim. They're not. They're inside the body. Papama hatun echad beis b'shikla. This, the Avas Habar has only one testicle in its sack. The Zu Vatu Nakam Beis B'Shikla, this has a number of testicles, and that's what differentiates them. Amr Yirmiya Amr Shlokish, Hamabia Shnei Minim Shabiyam. If somebody mates together two different types of creatures that grow in the sea, Loika, he'll get Malchus. My Tama, Amr of Adabar Havam Shmei Du'ula, Asya Lemineya Lemineya Miyabosha. The Torah says the words Lemineyam when we speak about the sea creatures. As the Pasuk says, V'yivra alakim as a tanina magdoilim v'as kol nefesh achai haremesis asher ashot so amayim Lemineyam. And the Torah uses the words Lemineyu when it speaks about birds v'as kol oif konof Lemineyu. So just like there's an isaklayim on what grows on the Yabasha, just like there's a isaklayim that on what grows on the Yabasha, there's also an isaklayim on what grows in the Yam. We spoke about different animals and different birds if they're considered tklayim zebzeh. So the Tzemach Tzedek and the Chasam Sofer says that why isn't the fact that the Avas Habar is a not kosher bird and the regular goose is a kosher bird, not enough of a proof that they're not climb with each other? So Chasam Sofer says, a very important point. He says there are birds that we don't eat. The reason we don't eat those birds is because we have no masara. That doesn't mean that the bird is really not kosher. What it means is because we don't have a masara on the bird, that's why we don't eat the bird. But to make that should be considered different meaning, just because we have a masara on one and not a masara on the other, is not enough of a reason to make them be considered different birds. There's a very famous question, but there's a type of a lulav which is known as the lulav ha-canary. And the question that comes up, the Paiskim discuss, that are they considered, and they have they don't look the same. And the question is the lulav ha-canary a kosher lulav that can be used for the dalam minim? Ramesha discusses the kashrus of the lulav canary. The Shas Chuvas Igris Moshe Eirachaim Chelik Dalid Simon Chaf Gimel, and he says that the fruit of the lulav canary tree versus the dates, the tamarim of the other fruit of the regular lulav don't taste the same. He says the fact that it makes an interesting observation. He says the fact that our Gemara, when it wants to differentiate between the different geese, does not use the birds don't taste the same as an indication that they're not the same bird. Says Rav Moshe, from here we see that the taste is not the proof that they're different. They have to have different physical characteristics. That will be the proof that they're not the same. And Rav Moshe says that the lulav canary has some very different physical characteristics than the regular lulav. And that's why Rav Moshe says it should not be used for the dalet aminim. But the fact that they don't taste the same, says Rav Moshe, our Gemara seems to indicate, is not a proof that they're not the same. Says the Gemara by Rechava, Hamanik be'izav shabuta. If somebody has a wagon and he tied a goat and a fish together to lead this wagon, is that going to be a violation of the Issa Klayim? Mahu. Mi aminin kivin de'izav le'nachas b'yam. Since the goat doesn't go into the ocean, v'shibuta lo'salak le'basha, and the fish, shibuta fish, doesn't come up to the dry land, lo'klum of it, so what you've done is not considered as if you did anything that's halachically meaningful, a dilma, but or hashtami kamanag. At the end of the day, your wagon is being led by these two different things. Maskla Ravina, El Me'ata, if that's the case, Chibar Chit Vasari B'yodai, if you take the kernels of grain of wheat and kernels of barley, Vazara Chit Ba'aretz, and you planted and you stood by the border of Eretz Yisrael, and you planted one in Eretz Yisrael, the wheat in Eretz Yisrael, the sair b'chutz la'aretz, and the sair you planted in chutz la'aretz. Hachin amid b'chayiv, are you going to say the chayiv? But since it's not considered klayim because it's two different places here too, amri hachi ashta hasam eretz makim chiyuva. The issa klayim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutzlars lemakim chiyuva doesn't apply. As we just learned, there's klayim in the yam and there's klayim in the dry land. That's why it can mean more of a combination. So now we've learned in our Gemara that there is an issa klayim by fish as well. So Rav Vozner Zatzal in the Shalos Tshuvos Shevet Alevi Chelek Ches Simen Reish Lamed Hey discusses that the people that take different types of fish and they put them together in a pond and they mate and they create new types of fish. And the question is, is that considered an issa klayim? Maybe the issa of klayim by fish is only when you, as the Gemara just discussed, when you're leading by fish. But if you're not leading by fish, maybe there's just mating them together is that asra mutter. And he makes a number of reasons why maybe yes and maybe not. He says, if the issa klayim is because you're not allowed to change, you're not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with certain animals and fish and bird, and we're not allowed to change that. So you're not allowed to change that in any fashion. On the other hand, since fish do not reproduce the way animals and people do, maybe there is no Issa Klayim. Another point he makes is if different types of fish mating together, that's part of the way the world is. He says the ocean is huge and there's many different types of fish. And if those different types of fish wanted to mate, they could always mate together. We can't prevent that from happening. So why should it be different if I put it into a pond? He says, Lalochi says, we can't say that somebody who does this is doing something. I can't say that somebody who's doing this is doing something wrong, but he does say that it's not something that he would recommend. And he says, v'nekiya nefesh, people who are scrupulous in their behavior, vaday ein oiskim zeh, should not be doing this type of mating. Hanrenloch shosh nagach zapara. Says the Mishnah, koinus tzoyin ledir. If somebody takes a sheep and puts him into a place with a wall, v'nol, b'fanah, and he properly closed the door, closed the fence, the door, k'roi v'nol k'roi, and he closed it properly, v'yotza, and then the animal exited that place, v'zika, and it did damage. And the damage that we're referring to is when we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, shein v'regel, shein is when the animal ate, regel is where the animal trampled something, then he's potter, because he did what he was supposed to do. However, loy nol b'fanah k'roi, he did not close the door properly, v'yotz v'zika, and now the animal went out and did damage, then under those circumstances, chayiv, he's going to be held responsible because he didn't properly guard the store. The Sefer B'nei or P'nei Moshe explains the Mishnah Pidrush. He says, Hakodesh Tzoyin Ladir. Somebody, it's talking about a leader of Klal Yisrael. And we know that Klal Yisrael compared to Tzoyin, to sheep. If somebody gathers his Tzoyin, his community, into the Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos, V'nol B'fneim K'roi, and then he guides them and teaches them to live properly. And then something happens that is beyond his control in the community, then potter, he will not be held responsible. However, loy nol b'fneim k'roi, if he didn't train them and teach them properly, and therefore v'yotzo v'ziku, and they go and they do something wrong, chayiv, it's on him. However, part nifritza b'layla, but if Klal Yisrael fortunately is sometimes acting inappropriately because we live in a time of Lila, of darkness, of Golis, Oshim Pitzua Listim, or we're being attacked by the Umas Olam that causes us not always to do what we're supposed to do, so then Potter, we can't blame the leaders of Klal Yisrael for that type of situation. The Tosfos points out that this Mishnah that we're going to be learning now about, as we said, Shein V'regel, should have been discussed before we learned Dalocha Bar. But, says Tosfos, since the Mishnah taught us Dalocha, the Mishnah taught us Nafal Shal Bar, if an animal fell into a bar, the Hivish Memov, and it destroyed the bar, so that is a halacha of Shor, but it started teaching us Hilchas Bar. That's why the Tana mentioned Bar. Another point, Tosfos says, as we're going to be learning in our Shiurim in this Perek, a big focus of the Shiurim in this Perek are connected to Hilchas Shomrim, that the Shomer's responsibility. Now, Shomer is not a direct mazik. So therefore, says Tosfos, the Masechta, the Tana of this Masechta, first wanted to speak about halachas that apply directly to shomrim, which directly to mazikim, and after it teaches us the halacha that applies directly to mazikim, bar being a mazik, Then we go on to the halacha of shomrim that we're going to be speaking in this case. The Masha points out that the Mishnah says that means that the door was opened in there, even, and this halacha would apply even by day. And therefore, but it was in a time and a place that people are not aware, the person who owns this fence was not aware that the door opened up. And therefore, even though it happened by day, he will not be held responsible. But the Sefer, he says, speaks about a place where if the fence were to break by day, everybody would be aware of it. And therefore, says the Mishnah, only if it was only by night, where he wasn't aware what happened, will he be potter. And therefore, says the Mishnah, as we just learned, Nifritza Belaila, if the fence opened up by night and he wasn't aware of what happened, Oisha Petsua Listim, or Listim broke it open, for Yatsu Vazika, and that caused the animal to go out and do damage, potter, the owner of the animal, will be potter. And Taisa says, not only will the owner of the animal be potter, but the listim will also be potter, because they're not the owners of this animal. And since they're not the owners of this animal, they won't be held responsible for the damage that this animal causes. However, Haitziu listim, even though the listim, once the listim take it out, so then the listim become the owners of this animal. And since they become the owners of this animal, then if it does damage, then the listim will be chayovim. The Sefer Cheshukei Chemed discusses a situation that somebody has a store that has an alarm, and somehow or another, the alarm went off by night, and they notified him that his alarm is blaring. And it's keeping up all the neighbors around that store up. Is he obligated to go at night to close the alarm? He says that our Gemara is going to teach us that even if it happened by night, the Gemara teaches us that the person has only limited responsibility if the fence around where he keeps his animals was broken by night, what he has to do. And in fact, the Torah in Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Tzadik Vav teaches us, Ein lo letroyach Yois Medai, Lachzer Achrea Bafela. He's not obligated to overexert himself at night to go fix the fence. So the question is, if that's the case, maybe this person is sleeping comfortably in his bed and he doesn't want to have to get up in the middle of the night to go deal with the alarm. So first he wants to say that in the world that they lived, night was night. And night, nobody was in the street. It was something that nobody walked in the street. So therefore, at night, it was not expected that you have to go out and do something. Here, people nowadays, of course, do frequent the street by night. So saying it's night is not the same as saying it was night in the time of Chazal. Moreover, he wants to suggest that this obligation that we're speaking about night, our Mishnah is speaking about Hilchas Mazikin. When are you responsible for damage that your animal did? When are you not responsible for damage your animal did? But that has nothing to do with the noise that you're causing. That isn't a situation of a mazik. That is an issue that you're bothering people, and that maybe there is no such a difference night and day. Another point that he makes, point that he wants to suggest, is that when somebody puts up an alarm, there's a implicit condition being said. I'm putting up the alarm, and this alarm certainly has the possibility that it's going to go off and make noise and disturb the neighbors. But the reason I'm allowed to put it up, is because there's an understanding that if the alarm should go off, I will do whatever it takes to close that alarm, that it shouldn't continue making noise. If that's the way alarms work, so I took upon myself that if the alarm's going to go off, I will be held, I'll take whatever I have to do to shut it. And therefore, we can't compare the two situations. Says the Mishnah, Hanich b'chama, if somebody put out an animal in the sun, oy shemasul chershet, where the sun obviously bothers the animal, and because the sun bothers the animal will now be more likely to do damage. Oy shemasul chershet v'katan, and he put it out to chershet v'katan, the yatsav azika, and then it goes out and does damage. Then the halach is chayiv because he did not properly watch this animal. And we go back to an issue that we brought up from when we began the Masechta. When we began the Masechta, we explained that there are two ways of understanding why somebody is held responsible when a shor does damage. One way of understanding, we explained, is you're responsible for something that you own. The other way we explained, and it could be that both explanations are actually correct, is that you have an obligation to watch something that you own. And if you don't properly watch something that you own, then you are considered a posheya. And that's exactly what this Gemara means over here. By you not having watched your animal in a proper manner, by you not having watched the animal in a proper manner, then you're a pesheya, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. Says the Mishnah, Nafla Lagina, if an animal fell into, from the roof, or from anywhere, into somebody's garden, venenis, and there were vegetables growing in that, Masra Haroya, if you give your animal over to a shepherd, so Nichnas Haroya Tachtov, then that person, that shomer, takes your place. So Chazanis says a very big chiddush. Chazanis says if you gave your animal to somebody to watch your animal, but the person you gave the animal to watch is a person that doesn't have any independent funds. And therefore, even though the animal does damage, you, the nizik, cannot collect from that person because they don't have the financial ability to pay. So Chazanis says a chiddush that the owner will be held responsible to pay. And the Chazanis explains, by having given over the animal to someone, and what that means is that you know that the shomer takes your place. But part of knowing that the shomer is taking your place is to make sure that you appointed such a shomer who has the financial ability to pay if there's going to be a need to pay. And therefore, if you didn't give it over to such a shomer, you will be held responsible. Continues the Mishnah, Nafla Lagina, if the animal fell into a garden that has vegetables growing, the nenes, and it ate from those vegetables, and it enjoyed those, and it benefited from them. Mishalam smasha nenes. You have to pay how much the animal, how much that was worth. But you don't have to pay for the damages, you have to pay that the animal ate. Yard kedarka vezika, but if the animal entered your that property and it did damage, so now it's a whole different situation. If the animal entered the property and ate something which did damage, so then of course, as we've been learning through Adam Masechta, Shalemus Masha Zika, then you have to pay for the damage that it did. Says the Mishnah, what does that mean? Kates and Mishalemus Masha Zika, how do we understand that? Shaman, we look as if this row is in a field that is the size of a base saw. A base saw is 50 by 50 amma. Ba'isa sada. Kama isa yafa. How much was this area of a saw worth before the animal ate? The kama hi yafa. And how much it's worth now. That's how we determine the nezek. Rav Shimon Omer, Ochla Peris Gemurim. He says that's only in a case where the animal damaged fruit that wasn't finished, wasn't ready to eat. However, ochla peris gemurim, if it ate fruit that's ready to be eaten, mishalemus peris gemurim, then she has to pay the full value of such fruit. Asah, if he ate asah of such fruit, then he has to pay the value of asah of such fruit. Sosayim, if he ate a sosayim of such fruit, you have to pay sosayim. Our Mishnah taught us a new halacha, and that is the halacha of what is the responsibility of a shomer. So the Chashuki Chemed discusses a situation where in the buildings in Israel, it's very common that they have light, the apartment houses, that which are condominiums, co-ops, and there's a light in the hall that you press when you want to use the light. But because they don't want the light to remain on the entire time, it goes off after a minute, unless somebody else presses it, or unless it's shet for Shabbos, for example, that it should be on the entire Shabbos. There was a problem with the light fixtures in the hall of a building, and they called an electrician. An electrician said it needs a new light switch. He put on a new light switch that is supposed to be set that after a minute it goes off, but apparently it was a broken light switch, and it didn't go off. So they called the electrician that they have this problem, and he said that he's going to come. But he didn't show up until a number of days later, and during that entire time, the lights were on in the hole. So the question is the electrician responsible? One argument that he should not be responsible is because he didn't manufacture that switch. It was the switch that he bought, and it was a defective switch. He can't be held responsible for that. On the other hand, he said that he's going to come right away, and he didn't come right away. And is that considered that he should be held responsible? So the Chashukei Chemed says that it's not considered even though he said he's coming, and even though, of course, he said he's coming, he's supposed to come, it's still not considered an act of mazik. If he's not responsible for the light switch being defective, he didn't manufacture that light switch, he should have come, but it's no worse than a grumma ben zaken. And since it's no worse than a grumma ben zaken, as we're learning now, and we're going to be learning in this shir, in our coming shurim, that whenever it's a grumma ben zaken, yoni chayiv bedinai shamayim. Tanabon. Eza karoi. So we spoke that you made a fence properly or not karoi. So ask the price, eza karoi, veza shloi karoi. How do we define this? Says the Gemara. Says the Brisa, Del Shiyach Lamed Baruch Metzuya, a door that could withstand the Ruach Metzuya, Zekaroi, and a door, Sheni Yachal Lamed Baruch Metzuya, that's considered Shaloi Kuroi. And of course, the Mepharshim point out that even though the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Brisa here is speaking about if it could withstand a normal wind, or not withstand a normal wind, that isn't the factor to take into consideration. What it means to say, explain the Mepharshim, is if what you did is normal, then you won't be chayiv. If what you did is not something that could withstand normal circumstances, then you will be chayiv. Amar Ramani Bapatish. Man Tana, who is the Tana, Mu'ed Sagli Mishmir Pekusa. As we discussed earlier in Daf Mem Hey, we had a discussion, what is the level of Shmira that is required? So who is the Tana that says that a Mu'ed, a Shmir B'chusa, is adequate? Rabbi Yehudi, the Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah. Kasha Ba'al B'Maseira, if somebody tied an animal with a rope, V'nol L'fon of Kuroi, and he properly put up a gate around where the animal is, V'yotzav Ezek, and it went down and did damage. Echatam vechemud, whether it was a tam animal or mur animal, the owner will be chayiv. Divrei Rameya. Because Rameya holds that an animal, whether it's a tam or a mur, always needs a shmira meula. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tam chayiv, because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a tam requires a shmira meula. Rabbi tam chayiv, mur potter. Shenemar, because the Torah says by the Muad v'lo yishmerenu balav, says that only you have to only do what the owner normally does. The Shamhuza. So Yehuda, interestingly enough, as we've discussed in previous shurim, holds that a tam needs a shmir ma'ula and a muad a shmir b'chusa is adequate. And as we have explained in the shurim, why is so? So the Meiri explains, an animal which is a muad, everybody knows that this is a dangerous animal. And since everyone knows that this is a dangerous animal, they know to be on guard, to stay away from this animal. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says a shmir p'chusa is satisfactory. However, when we speak about a tam, there's no expectation that the tam is going to do any damage. Since there's no expectation that the tam is going to do damage, one cannot be held responsible for it. One cannot be expected to be on guard. And since one can't be expected to be on guard, a tam needs a shmira ma'ula. And Rabbi Lezer's opinion is, Ela shmira, when we speak about a mu'ud, Ela sakin. The animal has to be eliminated. Otherwise, we can never be comfortable. So our Mishnah, which says that as long as you did a shmir p'chusa, it's adequate, seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara Filo Rameyer. It could even be following the opinion of Rameyer. Shani shem v'regel that Torah mi'atom b'shmer ha'son. The Torah itself says that for shem v'regel, a shmir p'chusa is adequate. Damar Rabbi Lazav, Amar Lai, b'masnisitana, Abba Torah dvarim, there are four cases of mazik that Torah mi'atom b'shmer ha'son. The Torah minimized the amount of shmira we need to do. Ve'elein bar ve'eish shem v'regel. And the Gemara explains each one. Bar, the ksiv kiyiftach ishbar kiyich ve'ishbar v'lo yichasena. Hakisol, as soon as you cover it, potter. You need not do any more. And as we've learned previously, it means that if you have a bar, all you need to do is cover it. You don't even need to refill it. That's enough of a shmira. Eish, the ksiv. The pasuk says shalom by somebody who makes a fire. Shalom yishalom mavis abeira. Ad the avid kmei maver. A person is only chayiv for making a fire if he actually was involved in having the spreading of the fire. Otherwise, he won't be chayiv. Shein the ksev abeira stay acher. Ad the avid came beir. Just like you did beir where you took the animal. If you weren't really involved in getting the animal to the place where it does danger, damage, you won't be responsible. Regel, the ksiv is shilach as beira, ad the ovid kein shilach. Says the Gemara of Tanya, the shilach say regel, and how do we know the shilach means regel? Because the kein oimer, we learned this in the first blot of the Masechta, the pasuk says, mashalche regel ashor v'chamor. So we see the word v'shilach is related to regel. Ubir is shein. How do we know? Because it says v'kero oimer kashivar hagolul as atumai. So gol atumai means eating, because we said two pshatim. Gol means the teeth, which are sometimes revealed, or gol means the waste, which is produced by the food. And it says the word yivar, so connected to shein. Says the Gemara Tama, and we learn from here, David ke'ein shilach bir. Only if you did actively cause damage or actively did not protect your animal adequately. Halavid, if that weren't the case, law, you will not be held responsible. Omar Rabba. So now says Rabba, now that we've established that by Shein Virego, a Shmir Pchusa is enough, Masnisa Namideka, we could see from our Mishnah, the Ktani Tsoin. Michti, why are we speaking about Tsoin? Haven't we been speaking throughout our Masechta? Michti, b'shaka skin of Asi. We've been speaking about shor throughout our Masechta. So nasni shor. Shouldn't the Mishnah have spoken about a shor? My shnodik tani tzayin. Why did the Mishnah all of a sudden start speaking about tzayin? Loi, mishum, that tar miyata b'shmiratzon. Because we're talking about shem v'rego, and la mishum tar miyata b'shmiratzon, lav mishum, the kan karen loik sebei. There is no Karen by Tzoyim. Shem v'regel the Ksebei. And therefore, we're learning here, Kamashmalon, the Shem v'regel Mu'adin hein. Shein v'regel are mu'adim. There's no concept of tam and mu'ad by shein v'regel. Tam v'mu'ad is only by a keren. And what we're learning from here is tsoim, even in a shmir p'chusa, which shein v'regel, keren doesn't apply by tsoim, doesn't have a horn. Shein v'regel does. And tsoim, a shmir p'chusa is good enough. Shma mina. Tanya Amar Yeshua, Abed Var Ma'isa Yisam, Potem Adina Adam. There are four types of damage that if a person does this, he's potter from Dinei Adam, v'chai v'dinei Shemayim. And the Gemara is going to be analyzing each one of them. There are a number of explanations. What does it mean, potter v'dinei Adam, v'chai v'dinei Shemayim? The simple pshat is the Bezdin doesn't get involved. Another pshat is potter v'dinei Shemayim, potter v'dinei Adam, v'chai v'dinei Shemayim, is if the person won't pay, but a Shemayim, they will make sure that he has to be paid, that he has to pay. And therefore, the Rishonim all point out that if somebody is in that category, a pot b'din adam b'chai b'din Shemayim, and he didn't pay, he would be posel edus. That's one point the Rishonim already say. And also they say, because it's pot b'din adam b'chai b'din Shemayim, it's the person, if the other side, if the nizik, if the victim was typhus, sees the money, sees the damages, it's halachically acceptable. Veilahain, what are these cases? Haparis gedim ifnei peim se'echera. He opens up a fence in front of somebody else's animal. Hakoif kamosa chaver ifnei deleika. He pushes down somebody's grain in front of a fire. Every case will be explained in the Gemara. Hasoich edi shakal lahayid. Somebody hires false witnesses, v'ideya edus l'chaveroi, or somebody who's able to testify on behalf of someone else, v'ena moyla, and he doesn't do so. So begins the Gemara. Amamar, a pirate's gather of nei behemus chaveroi, the halach is potter medine shemayim, potter medine adam, v'chayiv medine shemayim. Ask my hechidami, ilayim b'kois l'bari, that it's a good wall. But the end of Namichayev, I ruined somebody else's wall. If I ruined somebody's wall, I should be chayev. And as the Rishonim point out, the focus is not on the animals. The animals, we already explained in the Mishnah, what is the halacha with listing in the animal. Ella must be speaking about kaisel ruah. I broke down somebody else's wall that isn't a sturdy wall. So even though b'dinei adam, I'm not chayiv, I am chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Why? It's not my fault that this wall is not sturdy. Why should I be held responsible? So the way many Rishonim explain is that I still have no right to break a wall even if it's not sturdy and wasn't going to last. That's one pshat that I saw. The other pshat that I saw is that if I am there and the wall broke, it becomes my responsibility to remain there or to make sure that somebody comes and fixes the wall. And just to walk away, leaving a wall in such shape that Chas V'Shalom could do significant damage, that's why the Mishnah says, maybe you potter b'dinei Adam, you didn't do any real damage, but you chai b'dinei Shemayim.